Hi.
This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist.
Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. In our continuing saga in the art of wellness, there is a new factor which is coming into the picture. In relationship to the virus, we're all feeling a little bit more comfortable. New York went from the nation's hotspot to one of the lowest incidence of COVID and new cases in the country. So that's pretty exciting, which helps us kind of breathe deeper and feel a little more relaxed. But there is something new that's coming into this picture that we have to and choose to anticipate so we can make this transition into a more normalized society easier and safer for us and our children. And that's the fact that many of the children are now going to school. Oh my goodness, we're going to have totally new strangers exposure. And how are we going to deal with that? So that's what we're going to do in the first half of this show, is discuss how we're going to anticipate, prepare, and deal with any and all problems in our health and in our children's health that might arise. So that's what the rest of the first half of this show will be about. And then the second half of the show, Carol's coming back in, and she's going to talk about an area that she has been extensively studying, and it all relates to wellness. So today is a continuation of the art of wellness, but we're also going to say shields up. Now, what does that mean? The kids will know. Shields up means we're ready to protect ourselves for whatever we encounter. So I've had a long discussion with the young people in my family about how they're going to be more exposed and how it is their responsibility to protect their family. And how do they do that? Well, the basics is by keeping healthy. And how do they do that? We have a program in our family. I'll tell you ours. Ours does not have to be yours, but ours is a pretty darn good one. For the kids, I personally attempt to avoid as many pills as I can. Any supplements that I give generally are in liquids or gummies. In this way, the children are not overwhelmed, and it's easy for them to ingest. And that's important, because the perfect program is not perfect if your children refuse to take it. So this is a bit of a hassle to me, but I get up every morning and I make fresh squeezed orange juice. I've got an orange juice, one of those electric squeezers that rotate, and you put the orange on it and out comes the juice. I do this every day. So the child gets about 4 ounces of orange juice in the morning. If this was just canned juice, I wouldn't want to do it. But since it's fresh, I know they're getting some vitamin C while they're taking it. And I like that. Then I also am fortunate to be able to get fresh, organic, free-range eggs, which you can get at the farmer's market. Sometimes you have to go there early, but you can get them, and I keep them in the house at all times. I give a scrambled egg. Sometimes I steam some potatoes before bed and then just chop it up and brown it slightly and put an egg on top of it. Sometimes I do sunny side up eggs and just plain. Sometimes I do a little bit of toast with that, with absolutely wonderful, delicious grass-fed butter. I think that that's more than adequate. I don't like the kids to be too stuffed, but I don't want their stomachs to be empty when they're going to school. So let's look at this. I've started out with a little glass of some vitamin C because it's fresh. It's not additive C. It is direct vitamin C at a low level, but still good. Then I've added an egg, which gives essential fats, a little cholesterol for being calm, as well as vitamin D and vitamin A. So what have I done with this very simple breakfast? What I've done is I've supported their immune system at a basic level. This is perfect for prevention. I also make sure that I make the lunch, and I do that on purpose because I want to control the nutrition. I don't want them going there getting McDonald's chicken nuggets or a pizza. I want them to maintain being fortified. So I do make a sandwich. I make it out of Ezekiel bread. I make my own mayonnaise, which takes about 15 minutes. And the recipe is, you can look it up on YouTube. You can hand whip it, or you can whip it with a little blender. But it's very easy to make. Just a little vinegar, the egg white. I put a little mustard in, and you just blend it right up till it gets all frothy and wonderful with good oils, organic oils. So now I'm putting mayo on the bread, and I'm enhancing the health. I use Ezekiel bread, which is sprouted and very, very low in gluten and always organic. And then the insides can be anything we choose. Could be avocado if that's what the child likes. I get a lot of uncured organic meats. That's what my child likes. I put slices of lettuce. I put mayo. Sometimes I put a little mustard. But there I have a beautiful, healthy sandwich. I also cut up some fruit, apple, or I send a banana, or I send a tangerine, or sometimes I send berries. What they have is a healthful lunch. I never send desserts. They don't need lots of sugars during the day. They're busy. They're physically busy and mentally active, and they need foods that will support that activity. Then they get home, and I give them a snack, and that snack can vary tremendously. If I'm making soup, I give them some soup when they get home with all these vegetables cut up. And some noodles, delicious noodles and vegetables, and a little protein, sometimes little bits of chicken inside, but very well appreciated after a long day of school. And then we have dinner, and that's always, it begins with a vegetable, cooked usually, and then a salad with olive oil on it. And then very often a protein. Very often that protein can be beans, lentil soup, or regular cannellini beans, or it can be fish, or it can be chicken, or turkey. And sometimes, depending on the day, we'll add couscous, we will add quinoa, we will add rice, or we'll add baked potatoes depending on what is with the meal. So now we've completed the day. They've been able to eat delicious foods, all healthy, none which spike up their insulin. So now they're ready to defend themselves in terms of their immunity. It's a wonderful way to start each day and maintain it. I tell my children that the foods you're eating are what's going to protect this entire family. So it at this time, it is your responsibility to eat the best way that you can. Now, I must admit, I don't have lots of confidence in a possible vaccine, nor do I have confidence in the flu vaccine. But with that said, there's a large call for everybody to get their flu vaccine. Its accuracy or specificity to the flu that's going to be going around this year is not even stated, but it's recommended and being recommended that all of us take a flu vaccine. I personally like to depend on my immune system to support myself in relationship to viruses. So how do we do that? Well, with children, there are really nice liquid vitamin D's, and that's a tremendous support. Nothing needs to be exotic when you're dealing with children, just basic programs. So we're dealing with a D and an A and vitamin C. And depending on the size of the child will depend on the dose. The D and the A could be in and Carlson's cod liver oil. And the reason why I specified the cod liver oil, which this one is not bad tasting. You get it with orange or lemon. You can give it to them. The reason why I specified that, because I like the ratio of A and D in that form of cod liver oil. It can be given as a liquid, a teaspoon, and kids don't mind it. Why? Because they're bodies crave it. Or it can be given in a capsule. And when you give a child, a smaller child, a capsule, they take it, they put it in their mouth, and they start chewing. And you can really see that children will like what their bodies need. And it's amazing to watch them chew these capsules up. It's amazing to watch them take these teaspoons and find them somewhat satisfying. I sometimes use vitamin C and I give them thermoses of water, and I put vitamin C in their thermos with a trace of some fresh squeezed juice. So there might be a third of a cup or even less of juice, some vitamin C, and the rest water. So it's just literally flavored water with vitamin C in it. So they're drinking it throughout the day. I also, just like we're going to discuss in the last half of the hour, what we're dealing with is our intestines. Our intestines are so powerful in terms of protecting us and supporting our immune system. And it's a very large part of our immune system. So how do we help our intestines to effectively help us? And I love probiotics. Now, you can get probiotic capsules or tablets, and they have them available where children can chew on them. And they're not bad tasting. They're kind of pleasant. Or you can give, with breakfast, a tablespoon or two of yogurt. I give a little bit, like a third of a cup of kefir with water or seltzer in it. So it tastes like an egg cream. It's quite delicious and the kids like it. So I'm getting their probiotics into them. I'm switching the forms. I never stick with the same type of yogurt or the same type of kefir. The only thing that's similar about them is that they're all organic, and to the best of my ability, they're whole milk. These children need the fats to support their brain and brain function. I also can give, and sometimes I do, a chewable multi. And those can be quite nice tasting, and kids like them. And so now we've got us covered. We've got us covered with essential fats for the brain and as a carrier for vitamin A and vitamin D, fat-soluble immune support nutrients. We've got them covered for probiotics. And then now you have a natural multi. Now, there are other things we can do. I personally like Sambucol. And Sambucol is an elderberry. It's a thick syrup. You can get it in capsules where they're chewable. But I like the syrup. And I mix it with a little bit of water and a little bit of vitamin C. And actually, a lot of water and a little bit of vitamin C. And my kids have been drinking it since they were old enough to hold a cup. And it is very well proven and very well studied to block viruses, reduce the time of infection, and block its entrance into the body. They also have an echinacea mix with vitamin C that I like and is very easy to take. You'd give that to your child a couple times a week and to yourself a couple times a week. But if you're ill, you give it daily. So there's a mix of different nutrient support formulas that are quite lovely and very easy to take in, particularly for children, that I think it's to your advantage to look at, explore, and understand, because the greatest cure that we have is prevention. It's not waiting till we're ill and then in panic looking for something that will work. It's prevention. Now, prevention is unique in that it can't be proven. I can't sit there and say that I was exposed 5 times and I never got the ailment. That's not possible. But what you see are strong, healthy, focused children coming home from school every day. And that's what we all want. And we want that for our children as well as ourselves. So a variation of this program would be excellent for everyone in the family, from grandma to child. Everybody would then have a degree of protection. And we've said this before multiple times, our biggest resentment on this entire pandemic is that no one in the government, in the health community, other than holistic doctors, no one has spoken about the immune system. They've told us that we're defenseless, and in that defenselessness, we need to hide, we need to wash our hands, and we need to withdraw. Now, a degree of that obviously isn't the worst thing that can happen in the world, but that is not the only way. We have to build ourselves up. It comes back down to our responsibility for ourselves, for our family, for our children. And my children are old enough, and I say that it's their responsibility to keep us healthy. Now, if there are problems, first thing I would do would be contact my holistic practitioner, because although it's not able to be said directly, holistic practitioners are doing phenomenally well with this virus, blocking it and protecting people from the worst effects of the virus and even turning it right around within a day or two. So don't forget that. Keep that in your back pocket. But before we have to go to a holistic practitioner, I want you to do everything you can within your means to protect your children, protect yourself, protect your family. It's about you and taking charge of your health. Now we're going to talk with Carol because Carol's been doing some amazing research. As a continuing part of our Art of Wellness, Carol has been doing a very intensive study into understanding the microbiome, which we've spoken with you about many, many times. So Carol, to continue this Art of Wellness and protecting ourselves, where do you want to go from here and share with us some of the studies you've been doing?
Well, I have a new interest in constipation, a heightened interest.
Wow.
And I'd like to tell you why. So I went to visit my mom, and my mom's 93, and she tells me she has so much pain when she's walking. Her lower back hurts and her hips hurt. Now, my mom's kind of like a skinny woman, but she's got a lot of abdominal protrusion. And she's not got fat there. You know, you can feel and pinch fat as her belly is distended. And she suffers and has suffered her whole life from constipation. As it happens, my grandmother actually died because she had the same problem, and she died when her bowels ruptured.
Whoa.
From constant straining. And so did people like Peter the Great in Russia. He died of an impacted colon. Mao Zedong in China was famous for his constipation. So it makes you wonder about the course of history. What might have been different if people had regular bowel movements, right? So I thought to myself, I'm looking at my mom, and because of this distension of her belly, she's out of alignment when she's trying to walk. You know, she's leaning forwards a bit, and she's putting a lot of pressure on her lower back and hips. So no wonder it hurts. So I got her on some things, and we can talk about that in a minute, to help get that moving along. Did a couple other things for her. One was get her a lumbar brace, strangely enough, but that actually, when she tightens that up, that helps hold the weight of her abdomen. So it's helping her to straighten up. She made together a little formula, and I'll share this with you. This is courtesy of Dr. Ronald Klatz. Mix together magnesium oil, DMSO gel, and I crushed and dissolved 2 aspirin in there, which has the advantage of being anti-inflammatory, but when you put it through your skin right where it hurts, you avoid the damage that aspirin can be doing to your gastrointestinal tract.
And
ultimately, bleeding is a big issue. So we made up this little concoction, wrapped her up in the lumbar thing. I made her go outside barefoot and grounding. I made her pay attention to how she was walking. She was not quite a Parkinson's shuffle, but she wasn't doing the normal heel-to-toe walk. And, of course, then she was always bending forward and looking down at her feet because that also led to instability. So it made me wonder how many, especially older people who develop a lot of aches and pains and really, if you look at people, older people, a lot of them have terrible problems with their posture. So I'm wondering if the underlying problem to all of this could simply be constipation, leading to painful and distorted posture. And then ultimately, my mom said, I think I'm going to have to be in a wheelchair in not too long, and I'm done. And by the end of a couple weeks, she's just trotting around with a smile on her face, no pain, and she's going.
Oh, that's wonderful. Absolutely.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
That's a wonderful story. I like the ending, particularly the ending. But I'd like to talk about then two things. I'd like to focus on one, the intestines and what having regular, normal, regular intestinal motion and function does for an individual. And I'd also like to talk about causes of constipation, because many of us just don't think about that. And then how do we deal with constipation? So that's three things. So we underestimate our bowels. We take them for granted if they're normal, or we suppress them if we're having problems. We go get antacids, I walked into one of those big chain stores, don't want to say name, but we all know it, and as you walk in, on the wall to the right, as you're walking along, are giant displays of four different antacids that were there. You just grab them and put them in your basket and keep on walking. But what does that tell us? First of all, they're big time sellers, and they don't want people searching the store to find them. And second of all, it tells us the problems that we're seeing in the society with digestion. At this point, we're going to take a short break. We're speaking about that beautiful, elegant art of wellness. Now we're including our intestines in this conversation. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine and Carol, and we'll be right back. And we'll be right back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine and Carol, and we're speaking about the art of wellness, the elegant art of wellness, and now we're discussing our intestines and following Carol on her studies, and she's sharing with us. So listen, learn, and enjoy. So you want to address that, Carol? Because, we've got depression, we've got constipation, we've got diarrhea, we've got severe reflux, and one of the number one rising causes of cancer is very directly related to reflux, severe reflux. We've got depression. Now,
oh, it's all tied in together. You're I like, let's go to one of the first things you said. And I think this is one of the important things, is that you're dependent on the mobility of the gut to move things along. Stagnation and poor peristalsis. Real word. Peristalsis. Your body has to move everything along. And when it just stays there, you're in terrible danger of reabsorbing the toxins that your body's trying to get rid of. So that leads to more problems. But what contributes to the fact that your gut doesn't want to move things along? What's underlying that? And I'd like to bring up hypothyroidism. This is like a huge red flag for low thyroid, which I also think is of pandemic proportions. We are cursed with a lot of hereditary hypothyroid. If your parents were hypothyroid, you're probably going to be hypothyroid just from a genetic viewpoint. We have so many things that interfere with our thyroid hormone actions. We have things like fluoride in the water, bromine in the water, chlorine in the water. We could, you know, you could be just drinking your thyroid out of its activity. If you were to look it up, Google it or something, you would find that there are so many things that interfere with normal thyroid function. So then we have this stasis in the gut. So one thing leads to another to another. And I think even the glyphosate stuff, I think recently I was reading about how glyphosate interferes with your thyroid activity. And there is a lab that will measure your glyphosate levels. And I did the test. I was horrified because I try to eat well, eat organic. I'm concerned about what's being put in the food. And I was horrified that I had a pretty decent level of glyphosate in my bloodstream. So we are living in a toxic soup, and that is contributing to this problem of constipation.
It sounds pretty much like a chicken and egg syndrome. You know, when you look up one of the symptoms of hypothyroid, it's right up there, constipation. And when you're constipated, it could be creating or aggravating your hypothyroid. So you've got this circle here going, and where do you begin?
Okay, can I touch on a sacred cow?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I love sacred cows. I like them rare.
I'm just reading, you like this book, Corinne. I've already recommended it to you twice, The Carnivore Code by Paul Saladino. And he's actually addressing constipation in his introduction to his whole thoughts. And I think we'll return to this book because he's questioning quite a lot of things. But he says, we've been falsely led astray by recommendations to use fiber for constipation. And he said, okay, all that does is bulk up your stool. It does not help you get it out.
Well, doesn't the bulking create a resistance that your body has something to push against?
So we think, but it actually doesn't seem to work that well. The constant thing like using the psyllium seed things are actually causing your bowel to kind of not hydrate as much as we thought, but dehydrate and still stick there. And people go through those products like crazy. You'll find, as you said, in the pharmacies, you'll have whole end counters of psyllium-based products. And then one of them, I know they put sugar in there too. I don't think the sugar is aiding anything when you add sugar to psyllium.
No, I don't think so either. And I find that some of my patients, when they use psyllium, they become more constipated. I know that One of the reasons is they're not drinking enough fluids. So these sticky type of fibers become like glue in the intestines. Now, some people do very well with them, though, Carol. Some people, I know people that say that their bowels don't move unless they're taking one of these fibers. Not the ones with sugar.
So good point. You know, every individual, what's going on in those circumstances are a little bit different. But let's explore for a few minutes what you can do to get your bowels to move along. And so let's talk about milk and magnesia.
Oh, yes.
For a few minutes. Milk and magnesia has the advantage of working quickly, usually within an hour or two.
It's a magnesium and a phosphate?
Magnesium hydroxide.
Magnesium hydroxide.
I believe. So what it does, it's osmotic. It actually pulls water into the colon and makes everything watery. So you notice that anytime you take milk of magnesia, you have a very watery stool in a couple hours, just clearing things out. Another thing I found years ago, there's a saline flush, and you can put, I think it's about a teaspoonful of salt in a liter of water and drink it down all at once. And that concentration can also be an osmotic constipation reliever. It does some of the same thing. It keeps all that water you've just drank in the intestines, in the colon, and flushes everything out. So you can look this up for yourself. It's easily found on the internet, either saline flush or salt flush. And I think that's a very cheap and practical way for like an emergency situation when you haven't had a bowel movement in a while to ensure that this happened.
Now, one of the major causes of constipation that I've seen is dehydration. I love this Ayurvedic solution or prescription for constipation. And what they do is you wake up first in the morning, you eat nothing, drink nothing, and then you have room temperature. So you've poured a big glass of water the night before. So now it's room temperature water. And you get up and you don't sip it. You gulp it. Gulp, 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 gulp. It can be 8 ounces. It can be 12 ounces. It can be 20 ounces of water. And what happens? There's nothing in the water. There could be a little, like you said, a little salt. That would be okay also. But the water goes down through the stomach, but there's nothing in there to hold it. It goes into the small intestine, and a large portion of that has passed, and it goes into the colon. It's similar to what we would call flushing, almost like flushing the toilet. You just get a big bolus of water that pushes everything out. And doing that 2-3 days in a row gets your bowels moving. I've found it very effective. And what you were talking about, milk of magnesia, I also use Epsom salts. So I put a little Epsom salts in the water if I really want to push. And what is that? Magnesium and salt.
And magnesium sulfate.
Yes. And you drink it down. And I do that. Recommend it before bed. And the next morning, not too much, a half teaspoon, a quarter of a teaspoon. The next morning, you have a normal bowel, but with some urgency, you need to go to the bathroom. I also like magnesium citrate capsules. All these magnesiums in a concentrated dose really help move the bowel. But I like, before bed, 1 or 2 magnesium citrate capsules. and 2 vitamin C capsules. So it's not a tablet, it's a capsule. So it goes directly into the intestine and starts moving the bowel. And not only are you getting that assistance in the peristalsis, in the motion down, but you're also getting nutrients that are going into you that'll help you sleep, that'll help your immune system, that'll help your intestines, and they're absolutely lovely. So there are solutions for constipation.
I'd like to mention one that I had was less familiar with, but this is what I gave my mom. You'll find these products with magnesium oxide in, also for constipation. And the product I gave my mom is ozonated. The company that made it is trying to duplicate the effect of a colonic, which you would use ozone with. And their thought is that as you do this to help with the constipation, it's also antibacterial, antifungal, antiparasitic that may be contributing to the constipation. So if you're using this on a somewhat routine basis to help with constipation and moving things along, you're working toward what we talked about in the beginning a little bit, a healthier microbiome in your gastrointestinal tract. So this is an interesting area of substances that are being used for constipation, for chronic constipation.
I want to step back. Here we jumped into constipation, assuming that everybody has a similar understanding of what they're dealing with. Can you explain constipation? At what point does it become constipation? How often are we supposed to, for health, have bowel? And at what point do we have to look up and say, hey, there's a problem here?
That's a good question. How many millions of years have we been in existence and we don't have a good answer? Some people will say every time you eat stimulates the movement of your gut and peristalsis. So a more normal activity but would be after every meal, you'd also have a bowel movement. And I'm not sure that that's a golden rule. I would say it might differ for people. But really, when you go 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, I've talked to people who haven't had a bowel movement in a week, 2 weeks. That is dangerous, I believe. You're retaining too much toxins in your body for too long. It's meant to be an organ of excretion. And if you're not going, it's not working, and your excretory pattern is flawed.
Well, I often have people that come to my office for other complaints, but I always ask about their bowel habits. And I had a woman who comes in, and she goes to the bathroom once a week, but that's not why she came to see me. So she didn't really, well, that's just my normal. But We really weren't going to be able, just like with your mother had back pain, we weren't going to be able to address the problem unless the bowels were working correctly.
Right.
And so we had to literally backstep to be able to go forward and get where we wanted to deal with the problem that she came to me. And I see that regularly, that there is a lack of connection between an understanding of the bowels and what people are going through. There's a lack of connection of an understanding of the bowels and depression. I know that when I'm feeling constipated or bloated, my energy gets lower. I feel just logy and not as upbeat. And then bowels move and I just feel better. Oh my goodness. Well, what do I have to do today? I just physically feel better. And I see that in my patients also.
I wanted to bring up a related thing that people don't necessarily equate acne with a constipation. And I do. And I'll tell you why I do. So working with hormones for a long time now, I've noticed something that happens with great regularity. Women start on a protocol that includes testosterone, which they desperately need. And then they start testosterone and their skin breaks out. And what do? They don't like the breakout, so they decrease testosterone.
Or stop it.
Yeah. So testosterone, you have to understand, is in charge of all protein metabolism in your body. And it provides your body the means to make your immune system proteins, which are needed. And once those are bolstered up, your body is able to kill off unwanted pathogens, stuff the body doesn't need. So suddenly you have more debris to get rid of. And if you're constipated and you've started testosterone and you get acne, your body is unable to excrete that extra debris through the colon, which would be its first choice. It's still got to get rid of it, so it's going to get rid of it through your skin. Your skin is also an excretory organ. So when I've had people call and tell me, oh, I'm using this testosterone, it's making me break out all over, I say, are you having any problems with constipation? Yes, of course I am. It's a problem for me. And I said, that's your answer. You've got to clear up the constipation. You've got to work on clearing your bowel out. So your testosterone is actually doing something really, 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 really great for you. And you're not enjoying the benefits because you're seeing your skin break out. So stopping testosterone, decreasing the dose is not the right response to this. Getting rid of the constipation is what should be happening so your body can continue to clear. You're building a better immune system now with the testosterone. So it's time to enjoy those benefits and not have to have your skin break out. So constipation is a key. Testosterone is so important as a replacement hormone in both older men and women. It's huge. It's responsible, as I said, for all protein metabolism and synthesis. If you want a strong body and bones and brain, you need all those proteins. There are a lot of hormones that are proteins. You need that. So as we decline, testosterone's a biggie. So we have to pay attention to that. And acne can be prevented, should be prevented, and should be able to be cleared up easily with the constipation.
When anybody comes in with acne to my office, the first thing I do is start working on the intestines. Because when you have an inflamed intestine, you have visible outbreaks on your face and skin, the roughness on the skin that I see regularly coming into my office. It's not today you take something and then it's gone. Your body starts readjusting and the outbreaks become fewer and fewer and reduced in their intensity. And I see it consistently when the bowels start to clean up and the bowels start to move regularly. But I'd like to go through a little list of where we can go if we have chronic constipation and what we can do. So first of all, we discuss thyroid. So if we have chronic constipation, we have to look at thyroid. We also, you brought up parasites. Many of us don't think of that. But very often parasites that can be chronic, they could be there for 20 years, can be creating some of this constipation. Another thing, another piece of this, and this is what Jeff Thurston said and explained to us when he was with us is that our microbiome is out. And by using the correct pro and prebiotic, you can start rebalancing your bowels, and your bowels can then become regular. But also adequate hydration. So we're looking at, we're going down a checklist of what we can do. But you know what we forgot, Carol?
What's that?
Well, there's two things, but let me start with my favorite, favorite in the world is ox bile. Ox bile is brilliant. See, many of us, because of our weakened digestion, are not breaking down our fats. So there's different ways to get your bowels going. And one of them is just to drink a bunch of oil, and your bowel, your muscle and the peristalsis will be stimulated and move the bowel. But we don't want to do that every day. That's no fun. So what do we do? Ox bile is the ability to break down and release the fats. It's a fat emulsifier that has multiple levels. One, it stimulates the immune system, but it also breaks down the fats to stimulate that what they call peristalsis, or the motion that happens in the intestine to move the bowel through. And then there's another one, it's called hydrochloric acid. If we're not digesting, if the stomach is not able to do its job, and then the food goes in very partially broken down into the small intestines, and the liver and gallbladder are not releasing enough ox bile, what happens? We're going to be constipated because all the work that was supposed to have been done prior to reaching the small intestine now has to be done in the small intestine. And and it all is being overworked. So understanding that sequence, that sequential relationship of digestion, changes everything in how we approach all the different levels of our bowel health. So, Carol, I'm so glad you brought up this topic. It's absolutely wonderful and totally important, especially for all of us, but also for our children, because they're going in, they're reaching out now. They're going to have different exposures. And if their bowels are backed up, their ability to resist is going to be lowered. So I'm so glad you brought this up. It's so important that we focus on the bowel and we focus on different areas that assist ourselves and our families, and particularly our children, to be healthier and stay healthier. I've warned my children, I call it shields up. We're putting up our shield, our immune shield, we're putting it up. And you know, we got, with the quarantine, we got a little lax. You know, we're all a little down, so we kind of went off and we ate a little more and we had a little more ice cream. Well, and okay, you want French fries, go right ahead, you know. But guess what? Our exposure is higher now. So I've sat my family down. Listen, we don't want this illness in our household. So I cannot have you bringing it in. So you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to take your nutrients, and I'm not chasing you around to do it. And you're going to have to eat stellarly so that it allows us to protect ourselves. And that's what we're talking about today. Thank you so much, Carol. Thanks for bringing it to us and focusing on oaths on our vows, because nothing, well, is more important than that.
Almost nothing.
Almost nothing. Everything I can say, everything I can think of can lead back to the vow.
Take a few minutes to look on Facebook at our Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, and I've posted a poop chart there.
What is that?
So it will help you identify the quality of your poop and if you are in the normal range or abnormal range. So this is a pretty medically accepted diagnosis for proper poop. So have a look.
Oh, thank you. How many of us examine our poop? It's important. It can be helpful. So thanks so much, Carol. And we'll be back next week focusing again, beginning everything at this time on focusing our immune system and how to support it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me, Left Hook from Redding, California. Their website is Redding Left Hook. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.